One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Baltimore, I'm coming home. We're going to wrap the Live and Alive tour up Saturday, June 28th at the Horseshoe Casino. It's going to be a great night. I got Justin Schlegel from 98 Rock going to be out there with me. We're going to have some surprises. It's going to be a really big deal. Get your tickets now at RyanSickler.com.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day. We're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party.
Welcome back to the Way Back, everybody. Ryan Sickler here, RyanSickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Starting this episode like I start them all, by saying thank you. Sincerely, thank you for supporting anything I do. We got a lot going on out there. I meet a lot of people at the shows, and it's thank you for the crab feast. Thank you for the honeydew. Thank you for the honeydew with y'all. Thank you for the way back. Thank you for putting a new tier up on the Patreon. Thank you for the compliments. Thank you for coming to shows, merch, whatever it is. Also, you know, I'm going to tell you where the tickets are available for my shows on my website at RyanSickler.com. All right, guys, that's it. I'm very excited to do this episode today. This is a very special guest, a very special person to me. Very excited to have her here in the Way Back. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Kirsten Schwickerath. Welcome to the Way Back.
It's me, guys. I'm Kirsten.
That's Kirsten. Okay, so Kirsten, first of all, it's lovely to have you here.
Thank you.
Kirsten is the producer of The Honeydew. She is my producer of The Honeydew with y'all. She is my producer for The Way Back. She's, if you've ever done a Patreon, you've communicated with Kirsten. You've met her at shows. When you see the guest on this show, say, holy shit, how the fuck did you find that so fast? It's her. Kirsten's on the ones and twos over there. So she is definitely bringing life to this show. And I'm happy to have you here. So we're going to do a Way Back with Kirsten. First of all, how old are you?
I am 26, almost 27.
26, 27. How long have we been working together now?
About 3 years, I think.
Yeah.
3 years. I was just a Dew fan.
Yeah.
That's.
Tell them.
Yeah.
Tell them how you got your job.
I was actually planning to write you in my Honeydew with Y'all submission to just try and get on the Patreon. And instead, I had just graduated, so I thought I'll reach out. I think I reached out to YMH first, and actually Nadav gave me the bump that said you guys might be interested. And I was like, I'm a Dew fan because of YMH. So yeah, I'll reach out. And
yeah, they were all relocating to Austin and I wasn't. And he said, hey, this is a person I would definitely hire if we were staying. You should check her out.
Yeah, I emailed you that day, and I think a couple hours later you called me and your name came across my Fitbit, and I never hit denied so quick. I never hit deny so fast. I was like, is this some kind of sick joke? I had to go home to Devin and just be like, all right, give me a game plan. If it is him, we got to have, you know, an idea of what's going to happen. I think I drove up a couple days later and met you, and we've been working every day or
that's
so
not,
since.
That's very humble of you. Fitbit makes me, I forgot about Fitbits. Isn't that funny? They were just a few years ago, and I've already forgotten.
Right?
If you wouldn't have said it, I would have
that's
forgotten
what you,
about
I saw
Fitbits.
Ryan Sickler yeah. on my Fitbit and about Fitbits. Wrecked my car.
No, you drove from basically San Diego to Santa Monica every fucking time we needed. You were never late. I think you even interned for free at first.
Yeah.
And that's back when gas was at like $6 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get situated with us and fresh out of the riot, I think, wasn't it? Not too long after the riots?
A little bit after that.
Yeah.
A little bit after that. But yeah, just I think you said baptism by fire and just kind of took off running.
Well,
with it, so.
We had a producer who fucked up and didn't record video for two episodes. You were there.
That was my first day.
That was your first day?
That's when I met. You guys just finished prof. That's when I met Mike. Thank you, Mike.
Yep.
Yep.
And Fortune.
Fortune was the next one.
And I got the call that there was no video or anything. And, you know. shortly after that, the job was, I mean, very shortly after that job, I was like, you see what he did? Don't do that. You got the job. Let's go. And you're crushing it. So I'm super stoked to sit here because I've met your family. I've met your mom, your dad, your step parents, siblings. I've met everybody. They're wonderful people. They travel. They come to shows on the road with crock pots and things like that in the hotel room.
It's crockpot season. My mom just said that yesterday.
Is it crockpot season? Yep. There you go. And big gamblers love the casinos. Grandma loves the casinos. All right. So your dad, growing up, your dad also worked in a salvage. I say also because I actually worked in one, and you've met Shannon, who owns one, and your dad worked in a salvage yard. Did he own it?
He did not own it, but he was just super close with the owner of it.
Do you remember the name of it?
It was called Mid-State Auto. This was Mid-State, and this was just, they had a junkyard outside of town too, so this was just like the main office building. I mean,
this
shit, that might
corporate.
Be. Yeah, that might be my stepmom's car right there. I don't know what year this was taken, but that might be her car. With all four Tauruses.
We're over here
always.
At headquarters. Oh, but yeah.
I guarantee you, if you walk through that door, you would see where they measured my height until my dad left here. When the owner died, so.
And what was out back? More just cars on the yard? Or is this more of a, like, used car, a little beater, resale? Okay,
so
over
hold on
here
a second.
It is.
So, no, so this is our junction.
Okay.
This is now a rock pile, but this was the salvage yard itself. This was all of the cars in this area.
So he sold it all then?
Yeah, when the owner died, he sold it. His son actually moved. Here, you can probably see some cars.
Yeah.
There you go, yeah. So that was, like, there was one building there, and then this was all... And it was huge. I mean, if you look at this, it was this whole area. So this was the whole junkyard here. And then, yeah, when the owner Chief died, they kind of sold that off. But his son went down to Trenton, Missouri, and my dad would still go down there and help him and stuff. So after they left Pleasantville, this is now the junkyard that they had moved down to. That's down in Missouri. And so my dad would go down there. So that's kind of like what it was like before they had changed it. They just
And did they have inventory in a computer, or was it all up here in their head? Like if you said, I need a Chevy S10 Blazer door, they'd be like, oh, that's third aisle back, halfway on the right, that kind of shit.
Both. They had a system, but let me tell you, they moved down to Missouri, and auto people are different, but Missouri auto people are also double different.
What do you mean?
Because sometimes they had it in their head, and sometimes their head just wasn't there.
Oh,
and
I
it just kind of depended. So, yeah, I mean, like, there were times where they'd be like, yeah, that's over there, take a left turn, that's exactly where that car is. But they also had the old computers that almost looks like the green writing that my dad would go and run updates for them all the time. But, yeah, there are times my dad would come home and be like, Dad, those are really nice shoes. When did you buy yourself new shoes? You never buy clothes. He'd be like, I didn't. I found them in a car. We'd get Christmas gifts and be like, oh, where'd you find this purse? Where'd you find this purse? It was in the trunk of this car. It was about to crush. It's like, oh, okay.
Was it new or used?
New to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't look too used either, but yeah, I told you
outside. We used to find weird shit. One time we found dentures, like a full pair, and this old dude working there put them in and shit. We were like, that is disgusting, dude.
I don't know who it was that we just had on that talked about jerking off to a screwdriver that you tip.
Was it George Perez? No, who was it? Ever had a scary night of sleep? Not in the haunted attic kind of way. More like those late nights where you're lying in bed, reliving some old story from your past, maybe a regrettable haircut, or a brutal breakup. We've all been there. But here's the good news. You don't need a time machine to fix your sleep. You just need Ghostbed. Ghostbed is a family-owned company with over 20 years of experience and more than 60,000 five-star reviews. Every mattress is handcrafted in the USA and Canada with premium materials. Right now, their Memorial Day sale is live, and it's their biggest deal of the year. You'll save big on every mattress and get an extra 10% off just for being a Wayback listener. Not sure where to start? Head to ghostbed.com/wayback and take their quick sleep quiz. It's fast, easy, and it helps you find the perfect mattress. Whether you're a side sleeper, back sleeper, or you're still trying to sleep off that one wild summer in 03, you'll also get a 101-night sleep trial, free shipping, and a 20-plus-year warranty, twice the industry standard. Here's the move. Go to ghostbed.com/wayback and use code WAYBACK at checkout to get an extra 10% off your order on top of the Memorial Day sale. That's ghostbed.com/wayback. Promo code WAYBACK. Better sleep, fewer regrets. Now that's a win.
I can't remember off the top of my head, man. But it's funny when they said that, it made me think my dad had found an orange pin that was like that, but you would flip it over and you'd see a guy with a full bush and a big old dick.
A dick pin?
Big old dick pin. Yep. One of those sand ones. He found that in a car, kept it. So that was another one.
Tell me about the sledding. This is good because we would do this at the junkyard. Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite things that he would do is every Christmas, we had a pretty good hill in our yard when my parents, the house I grew up, they built, but there's a pretty good hill. And every winter, he would find a car and find the hood of it. He'd rip it off and bring it home, and he'd spend about a week waxing it down, getting it as slick as he could. And then we would just take it sledding. Me and my brother at the time, my dad, we'd all get on the hood and we would just fly down this hill into our cornfield. And then he would be hauling it back up the hill with 1.5 arms, you know, just hauling us up there.
People
all know
your dad's got 1.5 arms.
But a whole, an actual full, and it wouldn't be just like a, you know, it's not a small like Geo Tracker hood. It would be like a dually hood that could fit us. And he would just every night down there waxing it. And then we would have the best sledding for like a weekend.
That's what we would do at the junkyard. We'd all get a good hood and we'd take turns. Everybody had to go do their job on it. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, we'd ride it down the hills and those things would haul ass. Mm-hmm. You'd be banging your back on that fucking metal and shit.
Oh, yeah. If you hit we'd get freezing rain sometimes, and that was the best time to really sled because you would just fly. And
Princess.
We had a cornfield at the bottom of our hill. And at that point, it was almost like hauling it half a mile up to the hill.
Come on. Come see Kirsten. Come on. Good girl. Oh my goodness, you love Kirsten. So one of the things you ask guests all the time are like games they made up with their siblings or friends or whatever. Since you asked that, I'm assuming you have some of those.
Yeah.
Please share.
Just a quick one off the top, but I remember my brother and I used to play a game that we called Airplane, and he would just piggyback me around the house, and I had to try to flip the light switches on while he flipped them off. I don't know what the electricity bill was like after that, but
you're going around and you try to get it and he tries to hit it at the same time.
Yep. So I'm on his back. Battle. He's carrying me around. I'm trying to flip them on and he's trying to get them off. And we're just going around the house hitting every light switch. We would do that for like hours.
Hours?
Yeah. That was one of the things. If we weren't fighting, we would be doing that.
Where are you growing up again?
I'm growing up in Southern Iowa. It's called Melcher, Dallas. Very small. I think it's like last census was like a little over 1,000.
Okay.
So that's what I remember with him. But I thought about it when it came to like playing games because I think it was about almost the whole second grade and third grade year at recess. Me and my best friend Jessica and our other friend Cassie played a game every recess, just us, and it was called Handicrap Town. Not even joking. We'd go on the swing set and you'd do this thing where you'd flip in the swing set and your legs were stuck in the wires and you're just walking on your hands, and the whole thing was that we were paralyzed kids playing, and we had a butler named Petito, and we did that for 2 years straight.
Why do you guys have a butler?
Because we're paralyzed. We can't move past our swing set wheelchairs.
Hold on, explain it again. You swing up with you get your legs up there like a skin, like you're letting yourself go, so you're hanging by your legs.
So if you're sitting on the swing like this, you would flip backwards, but you would use your feet to wrap around the chain. So you're basically, your lower half is attached to the swing and your arms are just your legs potentially. And we're just role playing that we live, these three paralyzed girls that live, we have this butler named Petito, that was his name. And this was like 2 recesses. No one else is, 2 years of recesses.
Years.
No one else is playing with us the whole time.
I'm like, fuck.
Well, and then it came to a head because third grade year, there was a project where we wrote books and then they would send them in and actually get them published and you could give it to your parent as like, look, I drew this illustration, I wrote it. Our friend Cassie tried to write about Petito and we're like, don't you ever fucking bring that up. That's between us. That's our world. We kicked her out for a little bit, but she came back.
She didn't write
She walked away,
it.
But she came back paralyzed so she could
came
be back,
back
in him. And we called it Handicrap Town. And it's like, that was literally second and third. I don't know where it came from.
What inspired that?
Have no idea.
And all three of you went with it.
All three of us. In thinking of doing this list and stuff, I texted my friend Jesse because all of these games with her are just outrageous. Our other one was we spent a summer where it was always her riding lawnmower. We would ride that thing around like it was an ATV.
Yeah.
And we were obsessed with Talladega Nights. We'd always watch that. I could recite it word for word.
It's so good.
But the game we played from that then was my friend Jessie. We would always ride the mower around. She was Ricky
Bobby. Do you
remember
what kind of mower?
John, I don't remember what type. It was just a John Deere riding lawnmower.
Yellow.
Yellow bottom section.
Yeah.
It had a green or an orange shift knob up here. You shifted your gears on the side up here is all I remember. And she always drove most of the time, and I just sat on the back wheel part. And then she also, in her yard, she had her, like, utility pole and then that wire that goes to the side. So the whole game was she was always Ricky Bobby, and I was the unknown sister Kayla Bobby. And the whole... The whole game was Ricky's such a star that I have to protect him, but he's a race car driver and he's being chased by all these women. And like, here's probably my own childhood trauma coming out, but it turned into the fact that we're being chased by fat women. We'd have to drive the lawnmower between the utility pole and that wire to hit the drive-through.
Like, get through.
That was the drive-through. We'd put in our order for all the Big Macs, and then I'm throwing them out to get them off our backs, and we would just loop around her yard for like 2 hours until her parents got home and were like, "Hey, can you guys stop burning all the gas out of that? We actually need to mow later."
That's fucking great.
And that was one of the games we always played. Just stuff like that we'd come up with. Where I don't know where it came from that it evolved to that, but.
All right, so you're growing up in Iowa. How many siblings are with you at the time? Because you have a big extended family. So how many? What's the most people in the house?
3.5, because my stepbrother would come back and forth.
Gotcha.
But at the same time that's happening, I'm also a single child at my dad's house. So I got 3 older sisters. I've never lived with them because they're all my youngest one, Sherry, that you've met. She's 12 years older than me, and then they're older after that. So yeah, at one point
she's the youngest of the gap between you guys?
Yeah, we have 12 years.
Yep. And then everyone's older than that.
Mm-hmm. My oldest sister is a stepsister. It gets confusing because my dad divorced a lady, married my mom, divorced her, remarried the first lady.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You went back to
Libya. Yeah, and so my oldest sister is only like 4 years younger than my mom, I think.
So he was like, "I'm fucking enough of your ass. I'm going back to what I used to have."
I always ask him, like, "What's it like to have your parents together, huh?" I wouldn't know. 2 of my sisters got their parents back together, so it's
a win. Interesting. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I forgot about that part. So mom and dad have your sisters. Oh, no, wait. Stepmom. Your stepmom and dad have the two girls.
Stepmom has my oldest sister when she gets with my dad. They have 2 kids. Actually, my dad...
They came and hung out in Springfield and somewhere else. I forget where
Yeah,
else.
I forgot you met. You haven't met Mandy. You've met Yeti. Yep. Actually, the day my dad found out that Bernie was pregnant with Mandy, his first daughter, the next day is when his arm got ripped off.
Nuh-uh.
Not even joking. So my dad always tells me he thought he'd never meet his first kid, and now he has like, I think we're up to like 14 nieces and grandkids for him.
Wow.
Yeah, so then they have my 2 sisters. They divorce.
So he has 3 he has 3 girls, your dad.
All girls.
And your 2 sisters.
Yep.
And mom has...
Mom had my older brother when she got with my dad.
Right.
They had me. They divorce. My mom gets with stepdad, who has a son.
Who I've also met.
And they have my youngest sister.
The volleyball
that you've met.
Player.
Yeah, the tall one. Yep. Got
it. All
yep.
right. I'm square now.
Yeah. Okay. Make that into a family tree and send it to me because I've tried.
That's a fucking lot. tell me about the car wash.
Well, real quick, if you don't mind, I was just going to say, just because on the topic of talking about my friend Jesse, who really got most of my, I mean, I love her dearly. I miss her the most. We got into so much.
Is this one
of
the friends I've met?
You have not. No, she's still home. You haven't met her yet, but...
What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Jesse. Hey, Zach. I love you guys. You'll see up there QVC cops because...
Okay, yeah.
We had this thing where I don't know why. We could have prank called anyone in the world, but we just thought, you know what? Let's fuck with QVC.
We did too. I can't believe... Go ahead. Because I'm older than you. And I feel like they could have screened you guys. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it got to the point. I'll preface this by saying that, you know, schools would have those fundraisers where you try to get stuff and then they show you all the cool toys. Mm-hmm. We had one year, and one of the toys or one of the gifts was a phone that we thought was a cell phone. It ended up being just a landline, so it was still your landline, but we thought it was a cell phone, and we have never went harder at a fundraiser because we're like, that's our own personal phone. We can call QVC as much as we want. No one's going to know.
I see.
So we end up doing that. Turns out, not the case. We got in a lot of trouble at one point. We ran up a bill with the operator and QVC. One day, her mom got a bill that was like $300 over because we kept calling operator to connect us to people.
Oh, connect.
And then also QVC. But the QVC one escalated because we did it, I mean, every day. For the summer and multiple times a day, we're watching the show and being like, "Can we get that product?" and like just messing with them until one lady answers and said, "We know who you are. We have your locations, and the cops are coming. This is harassment. Do not call us again." We hung up and I think we like hid out in her garage for probably 3 hours. Her parents came home. No, I'm not even joking. We were so scared. We were like, her garage had like a gap in the door and we're like, we're hiding behind the John Deere lawnmower. We can't even play our game because we can't be seen outside. It probably took us a couple months before we called them again. But my grandma orders me stuff off there all the time. And when I told her that, she was like, you did that?
Still, is QVC still going?
Oh, yeah. She just sent me a Christmas blanket a couple weeks ago. No, she sends me one every season.
I remember that would be on just running 24 motherfucking 7. So we would do the same thing. But this is the 80s. And we would call and I would be like, all right. Because they'd be like, this brand new RC car and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. So I would call and I'd get through and they'd say, what would you like to talk about? I'm like, I just want to say how great the remote control car is. We have a couple of them. We love them, you know? And they go, okay. And then they would put you on the air, you know?
Oh, you got on.
Yeah, we would get on.
That was our dream.
And we would be like, they're like, okay, caller or whatever. And we'd be like, my son's hair is stuck in the wheels. It's not. And we would have a friend in the back scream like, ah, like, how do we handle this? Okay, caller. Dude, we would get on there and get kicked off. That's
I'm
exactly
so mad we weren't that clever with it. That's
we
so
did.
Good.
We would freak
we
out.
We were just straight harassing them. We were wasting their time.
We would be like, it's a wonderful blanket. We do that sometimes. But the remote control car, we were like, how do we get it out?
Oh,
how do we get it out? And they would just have him screaming so like, it's pulling my hair out.
Oh my God, that's so... No, we never did. I almost wish we would have, but no. We were honestly just being little assholes at the time. I was going to say, you said breaking car washes. That's a quick one, but my sister Sherry, who you just saw, 12-year gap, but definitely very close, you know, always was like a really cool big sister when I was younger. So cool that she would just put my high seat up in the front seat of her car. You know, like when I was young, she would put my booster seat. Yeah,
okay.
Not high seat, geez. She would put my booster seat in the front of her. I think it was a Buick. It was all maroon interior. It had the seat belts on the door that would choke you if you didn't move in time.
Yeah,
and I just remember that. I mean, one of my earliest memories is she's taken me to a car wash, introducing me to Tenacious D, our favorite band together. She's shown me like these songs and like him going through the drive through when he's like, take two nuggets and shove them up your ass. I'm 5 years old and she's showing me this.
That was wondering how old.
Yeah, so I'm 5 years old. We go to a car wash and she runs her car into and breaks it and just says, get in the car, and we just left. And
how'd she break it?
She ran her car into it. Like, she just drove the front end into, like the dryer. So I don't even know what part it was, but she broke it, and she was just like, stay in the car, and we took off. And she still brings it up to me this day because she was like, your booster seat was in the front seat. Like, I had a back seat, and it was open. I just thought, hey, why not throw my five-year-old sister up here?
Roll like this?
Yeah, pretty much. So I had to throw that one in just because I mean, can you imagine seeing a kid in a booster seat up front today?
No, just hell insane. No. You'll be all over the place. They'll be viral. What's car bridge?
All right. So car bridge is, I think, the first wreck I ever got into. And I kind of mentioned it briefly earlier, but
one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect. So after a long day, buy a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for $1. Because saving with deals is always on the menu. With new McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
My dad being the man he was at the salvage yard, it was always salvage title cars. It was always something wrecked and fixed, and it worked.
A Honda Civic with original rims was a salvage car.
Hell yeah. So ours was always Ford Tauruses, and they always worked great, but there was like a little something to them. So like my first one was this red one. It was really great till you hit about 35, and then it would stop. So you'd have to switch.
Stop.
It would start sputtering. So you'd have to switch the key back, coast, put it into neutral, coast it up for a little longer, then turn the key back on and put it on the drive, and then you're good the rest of the drive. But you had to do that every time about 5 minutes into the drive.
What was it?
Wrong with it?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
What was the reason that fucking would do that?
I don't know. I don't know car turn. I know more about my microwave than I do my car. And my dad's a mechanic. He was a mechanic for 30-something years. Probably the blinker fluid. No, I don't know. So yeah, that was my red car. But car bridge was, we had a snow day. Well, we had a 2-hour delay 1 year, and it should have been just canceled, but they didn't. And The thing about my hometown, it's called Melcher Dallas, and the reason is because it was actually two separate towns, and there's a railroad track that goes between the towns, and that's what used to split them. So there's this big historic, or not big historic, but when it's 1,000 people in the town, it's pretty historic, this wooden bridge that goes over the railroad tracks.
Okay.
Taking my little sister to school one day because it's a snow day, everyone's at work. I'm being super careful. It doesn't look like it here, but let me tell you.
Where's her booster seat?
She didn't have one, but she was in the back seat. She was in the back seat. I'm approaching the bridge. I know it's so icy, and I see someone coming off the bridge. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm not even going to try and go at the bridge until it's completely clear. Mm. And I'm saying this to say that I know I was being safe. So I stop. The car gets off. I go to hit my gas, and my tires just start spinning, and I'm not moving. I'm just heading straight for the edge of this bridge, and I can't do anything. I'm only going like 2 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. We hit this bridge. Very anticlimactic. Okay, so super anticlimactic hit. My sister's, I think it says in the article there, she's like 6 at the time. We hit, and she goes, oh, what was that? I'm freaking out. I'm freaking out. I had a thing of cupcakes I made the night before to give to my homecoming, my dance partner that agreed to dance for like drill team. They're getting smashed on the ground. My sister's laughing until she realized I'm panicked. But if you look, this picture right here, This is what stops my car from going down the embankment and into the railroad tracks. And as soon as we hit, I stop. We hit. I go to get my little sister's door open, and I hear the train coming.
Nuh-uh.
I'm not even joking. Oh, so if Adam, we man. Would have gone
yeah,
any
it's
faster,
broke right there too. Isn't
listen,
it?
Car drove away fine. Did more damage to the bridge. They had to replace like 4 boards on the bridge. My dad took my car to the high school lot. I drove it home that day.
Really?
Swear to God, the car was fine.
No shit.
Yeah. But yeah, that's.
You look like you're about to tip over there mm-hmm. too.
Oh, it's a. I mean, I would say from here, you can kind of see right here, and that's not even the end. So it's probably like a 35 foot drop. And yeah, it's like we hit. Have a second where I'm like, okay, calm down, get Sadie out. And then I just hear. And so, yeah, if we would have been going like a little bit faster, probably would have been train meat. Food. Yeah, it was a slow day. It was a very slow day for the newspaper
accident
that day.
Leaves uninjured girls.
We were so fine. They're like, yeah, they hit a bridge. Union Pacific's down there putting new wood on the thing. For probably 5 years after this, you could see these 3 boards were always a different color. So everyone just knew like, oh, yep, that's where she put her car through the bridge.
Tell me about Pet Cemetery.
So Pet Cemetery, I think you know by now, I'm a huge animal lover. Mm. I always have been.
Aw, look at little Kirk.
Look at that. What is that haircut? All of them are haircuts like that. I don't know
Look at little Kirsten. Who's the kitty here?
So I think that this was Crooktail. We had a bunch of cats. For a while we had them in pairs. So we had Green Bay and Packer first, and then we had Fatty and Skinny. Mm-hmm. And I think that this one's Crooktail, and that's because something happened and he had a crooked tail. So I think that's who that is there.
Okay.
Always been a huge animal lover. But we also live on
Dot
a highway.
And Toast now.
Yep. I consider Princess like a little foster dog.
I mean, yeah, this is your girl right here. We really are lucky
to have Princess mm-hmm. as a dog out here. One of my like most memorable cats growing up, though, was a cat named Cheese, a little yellow tabby cat. And I'm trying to think I don't remember how we got him, but he was an outdoor cat. I love this thing. He was just so, like, would let me do anything. Dress him up, would follow me around the timber. Just real, like, Disney princess type shit. Where you're like, hey, this animal is mine. Loved him. Until I get the call that dad's like, hey, Cheese got killed. Got hit by a car.
Mm.
And this was tough because I think Cheese was one of the animals that my dad was like, fine, we'll do it. But like, I'm sick of getting cats. I'm sick of getting dogs because they get injured or they get hit on the highway. And he just couldn't do it. Couldn't see me doing it, but I would still beg for it. So then Cheese gets killed. It's terrible. I think that's like the first memory I have of just having dreams where I was like, I was probably like I think I was in third grade, whatever age that is. Having dreams of him and just not even knowing how to process that, like, my cat's gone. I'm never going to see him again. 3 months go by. And then I get a call from my dad. I was at my mom's house. They had split custody. And I get a call and my dad's like, can you come out? You're going to help us decorate for Halloween. And I was like, that's fucking weird. But yeah, Bernie would, but I don't know why you need my help. But sure, I'll come out there. And they bring me out to the house and I come in and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, what are we doing? And a fucking orange cat comes down the hallway and comes straight up to me and it's Cheese.
Nuh-uh.
It's Cheese. No joke. It was Cheese. Dad buried the neighbor's cat. We thought it was our cat. My dad, we didn't know our neighbor's cat was missing. He buried it. Looked almost identical. Cheese comes back. The only thing
from
different.
From where? Where was he?
No idea. 3 months he's gone. He comes back. The only thing different is he like lost his voice. So when he tried to meow, he was just like kind of thing. But from that point on, he was an indoor, outdoor cat.
It was
cat.
Definitely Cheese.
It was, there was not, as soon as he saw me and came up, like we knew it was Cheese. And there was no mistaking me. Like the way he approached my dad, he just had a very like distinct mannerism around certain people. And it was like, that's definitely him. And then after that point, he became indoor, outdoor. And he had bells on the front door. He'd ring them to let us know when he wanted to go out. And he was just, he was our little guy.
That's an awesome story.
Yeah.
Cheese.
Yeah.
That's why you call it Pet Cemetery.
Yeah, because I mean, I'll never forget. My dad thought he was funny too when he afterwards he was taking me back into my mom's. He's like, let me just go check the grave real quick. And then he came back up screaming. He's like, it's not in there. Came back. I'm like, you fucking idiot. So yeah.
Show us some of your pictures here. Let's see what you got here.
Oh, so that's my dad there.
Is that a turkey y'all
got? Yeah, that's turkey. You can actually see there. So he can't turn his hand past that point. So that's the arm that's tore off. He can hold his hand to about that degree. He can't go past that.
Got it.
So that's why he's holding it that way. That's just me again.
Look at little Kirsten. Aw, that's a good one.
That's my grandpa. And that haircut.
I see your mom in him.
Yeah? Yeah. Sure. You know what's so funny that you say that is I actually made her a gift like a couple years ago where I... After he had passed, overlaid her and him, so it looked like they were together. And I was like, damn, they do look alike. They so do. It's interesting hearing you say that. That's just my dad and me and us.
look at little fucking Big Bird over here. So, little Big Bird. Wait, okay.
Hold on. I was going to say, I have another one of these that's just this standalone that we'll come across. Also, right there, shout out to Fish. That's my best friend, Fish. We started daycare together. His real name's Jacob, but day one, number one, my best friend. Yep, that's him. And I kind of cropped it, but our other friend, Hunter, over there. I had 15 kids in my class. Like, I can tell you everyone's first, last name, birthday still.
And it looks like you're all in the back of a pickup truck. Would never be allowed to do today.
Yep, this was our homecoming parade in preschool. So they put about, I don't know, we probably had about 15 at that time, too. 15 preschoolers in the bed of one truck and drove them around the town. But I was Big Bird. I have a standalone shirt of me of just this that my mom put on a hoodie for Devin before we were together, and it says "Raised on the Streets." Yeah, so I have that somewhere. Now this,
that's your catfish.
That's my catfish. That's also my second chin.
Starbury. What is that?
Yeah, I don't remember. There was a store that opened up in Iowa for a while. This was my big tomboy phase. This was like Dale Earnhardt hat backwards phase.
Is this Chris? You Chris here?
Curtis sometimes. Kurt. Yep. Yeah, I can't remember. I wish I could remember. If someone remembers the name of that store, I feel like it was something Dunn. It was not Brooks and Dunn, but that's where my mind's trying to go. It was some random store that opened up in a mall, Southridge Mall in Des Moines, if anyone from Iowa was listening. It's closed now. But that was that brand. It was only around, and, you know, I had those, and I had basketball shoes. I wore shorts. I hate to say it, but that's the same. That's the exact person that Kayla Bobby was trying to keep from her brother on the lawnmower.
You got to protect them.
Got to keep them away. But, yeah, I actually caught that myself. I threw my pole in the river. I threw my pole into the Red Rock first. I casted it out. My mom ended up reeling my pole back in a little bit later, and then ended up catching that guy.
It was on it?
No, I got the pole back, then cast it out and got that.
Look at Kirsten, you know, MVP.
Your
hair
balls.
Looks better here, though.
Hey,
bangs are the same.
Hey, that's after they grew out. I cut them.
Yeah, they look like. Oh, you cut those?
Mm-hmm. I mean, no, not those. That's after I'd cut them. Mm. Did Stella ever do a hair cutting phase?
Never.
I'm surprised. I feel like every kid has,
you know what,
a scissor phase, and mine was in kindergarten.
She did like maybe ends.
Oh, well, then she did good.
The bangs.
She might have a career then.
Yeah,
I went
in the style and shit.
Right before picture day, my mom was so mad. Oh, okay.
It says to be or not to be a pirate here.
All right. I was telling you this a little bit outside. I've never actually shared. I think the first time I shared this with anyone was like a couple, maybe like a week ago when my sister was here. I was inspired by Andrea Jen's piss stories to finally come out with piss story.
Said
because
piss too. She was pissed.
Man, this
you
is.
You never told your husband this though?
I think I told him this as I was getting this stuff together. It's one thing that escaped my mind. But at the time, I think I had to have been a freshman in high school at this point, I think. Yeah. Freshman in high school. I did all the plays. I was in the thespian was in thespian group, so mm-hmm. you can see up there, Troop 6479. I didn't know that. I just read it. I had never told anyone this until now, but we did a play. This is the first play ever that they're like, you're going to do a singing part.
And how old are you?
I don't know. Probably like 14.
Okay. 14, 15. Okay. It's older than I thought you were going
to
say.
I'm trying to think. I don't know. When do you get your... Yeah, I think freshman. I probably got my license sophomore year. I had to be sophomore a freshman, year. So yeah. I don't even remember what my part was. I don't remember any of that because all I remember is, I think it was like probably night two of the show. We're out there. I know my singing part's coming up. I was fine the first night. I can't even really sing, but no one else can, so I look good in comparison. So I'm not worried about that. But what I'm worried about is all of a sudden I'm like, I gotta fucking pee. And I know that this scene just started. I'm doing everything I can to not draw attention to myself. And basically, it doesn't work because I piss myself on stage.
Are you sitting in a chair? You
No, I'm standing in a group with other people.
Do they see it? Do they look down? And
I don't. I do not think so.
Are you in a dress, pants? What are you wearing?
I am in pirate attire. I'm in cargo pirate pants. I'm in like... It's like the pirate type pants.
The ones that come here.
Yes, yeah. But and they're not the red and black. They're like the canvassy material. So like... I could do not. I'm sitting there. I'm like, I'm clenched so hard. That was probably my first introduction to a Kegel because I was holding on and I was like, please just don't. Like, I'm trying to like be in the scene. And I'm just like, don't piss, don't piss, don't piss. And it's, you know, it doesn't just come out. It's like a slow trickle. And it's like, I held it just long enough that I'm like, all right, as soon as lights are off, we got to go. So it's like the last of my piss comes out as the lights are coming down. It's almost poetic in my own area. I'm just like, fuck, I take off running. The one person who does know this is Miss Anderson. Thank you so much. Cause I run to her and I go, I pissed my pants. I don't know what to do. I have to sing in a second. She was so nice. She's like, give me your pants. She changed me, whatever. But the worst part was I got up there to then go sing the next scene. No one knows, pants are dry as fuck now. But I see like two footprints in the riser. People Someone tracked through my piss. No one said anything. No one in the play ever was like, hey, what's up with that? No one said anything. And the thing was, is it's like, we're a small school. So these are just wooden risers. For the next 3 years that we did plays, I could just see that outline of that little piss spot. Like, Nuh-uh. I'm it not even joking. It was just not very apparent, but it was enough to be like, yeah.
That's where my mark yeah, territory.
You really pissed yourself, actually. And yeah, I held on to that I was so scared that someone knew or someone. I mean, that was the moment I was like, oh my God, my life's over. This is it. This is where it ends. Like, I'm never going to recover.
Your pee pants.
I did. I pissed my pirate pants. And then I went on saying, great. No one even knew. And I'm so happy to share it here now because, you know what?
That's the way it is. Hey.
But yeah, that was the play. I had to ask my mom. I was like, I can't remember the name of the play just because I think I blocked it out. I just knew it's the only one I sang in.
I get nervous before every stand-up show. It's a 50-50. I could shit myself every show. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. You know, absolutely. I love you.
I love you too.
I really do. I'm so grateful to have you here. You're fucking killer. And everybody is right about you. You're the fucking best. So thank you very much.
The fans are the best. They really are. They're really kind to me.
We do.
And you're the best. You really are the best.
Thank you.
Let me give you your flowers real fast because we talk about it all the time. Like, you comedians are a little mentally ill, but I'll say, hey, for being mentally ill, you're my favorite one. You treat me so great.
Don't make me cry.
No, you do. You treat me so great. It's one thing to find a job outside of college that you enjoy. It's another to find a job in like a dream career. It's another to find one in a dream career and then be working for someone like you who, you know, lets me know that I'm respected. And I really appreciate that.
Thank you. I love you. And don't get it twisted. I tell everybody I'm a mental patient. All right. I'm allowed to have a wristband and wander the property. I can come over and maybe help you rake leaves. And I might even be allowed to cross the street and go to the corner store and get a snack. But make no mistake about it. There's a lights out. You know what I'm saying? And I need to be back on the property. But I do love you. And I'm so grateful. We're so grateful to have you. And we're grateful to have you guys. Thank you. Thank you for watching, supporting anything you do that supports and helps us. We genuinely thank you for it. Come see me on the road. Tickets are at RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Yeah. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.